Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, today we're talking about the heartbreak of endometriosis. And I'm glad we're doing this show. I don't know a lot about endometriosis.
Which is good.
Unfortunately, I didn't suffer from it, but I know a lot of women do.
Sure.
So I'm anxious to learn a lot during this show, Dr. Prather. What exactly is endometriosis?
Well, endometriosis is when the lining of the endometrial material, which is the lining of the uterus, that is left off for the menstrual, gets outside of the uterus into the abdominal cavity.
Okay.
So it's
needed in the lining.
In the lining where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It actually gets outside and travels outside of the uterus into the abdominal cavity and can cause quite a bit of scar tissue, a lot of damage in through there. It can create a lot of toxins and create a tremendous amount of pain and is also very much involved in infertility.
Interesting. How does it get outside of the uterus?
Well, there is an opening because when the eggs are released by the ovaries.
Oh, yeah, you need an opening, right?
Right. So it can actually travel basically up through the fallopian tubes and then out into the abdominal cavity. Or it can travel down from the cervix and into the vagina. So it could go both ways because you've got three openings to the uterus. And so as it travels outside of that, where it's not supposed to be, then it obviously causes some problems and can be rather devastating.
What is its purpose? Just line the uterus?
Yes, it's a nutritional. So what happens, that's where the egg lands, so it's a nice soft landing spot for the egg.
Make it sound
and
like
then
an
it kind
airplane.
Of buries in there. Yeah. It buries in there, and then it provides the initial nutrition until the baby develops enough and you have the umbilical cord and the attachment that's associated with that.
Interesting.
So it's supposed to be food, nutrition, and safety.
So who gets endometriosis? I mean, women.
Men
yeah. can't get endometriosis.
Right.
Unless they have a uterus.
Right. So the women who have a tendency to get endometriosis, first off, is a family history. If you have an aunt, a mother, sisters who have endometriosis, then you have a greater likelihood, about 80% greater likelihood of having endometriosis than the other people.
So even an aunt.
Right. Oh. So there's a genetic connection along those lines. So they do feel that there is a genetic tendency on endometriosis. So that's one thing you look for. Also, if you started your period before 11, then the chances of having endometriosis are much higher. Matter of fact, the later you are in your starting your period, the less likely you are of having endometriosis. Matter of fact, also, the more healthy you usually are.
Right.
Less different. Cancer, cardiovascular, all sorts of things. You live longer.
When you start later.
When you have a delayed.
The thing is, girls are starting earlier and earlier. There's a theory about that.
Yes, but that's that is also another factor that there's a chemical factor in all this, too. One of the things is we are poisoning our water. There's certain chemicals that can also kick off endometriosis and also kicks off early menstrual periods. So we are changing some of the hormonal components that are involved in this.
Isn't it, too, the increase in hormones, too,
in
what we're eating?
In the environment. There are different types of chemicals that imitate hormones. It feminizes women and causes a shift in the hormone levels in females, too, which causes more problems.
Interesting.
So that's one of the reasons that the periods are probably dropping. Now, the other thing that is a definite factor on that is exercise. The more you exercise, the less likely you are to develop endometriosis.
Oh.
And if you have a very active young lady who's involved in sports, then they have a delayed menstruation, which also helps with the whole process. And with a delayed menstruation, within a reasonable amount of time, less infertility, right, less hormonal problems. So exercise, you know, the whole emphasis on female exercise, mm-hmm, really getting into that is something that is should be encouraged, because it really improves the health and the well-being of your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that, right.
Yeah.
Abnormal cycles. Mm. So if you don't have, period should be at 27 days, should be sort of like clockwork. The women, mm-hmm, who can kind of time it, mm-hmm, kind of look at the calendar and know exactly, they are less likely to have endometriosis, of course. They also have better fertility, less diseases.
The ones with regular cycles.
Regular cycles is something that women should be trying to achieve. Because if you can get that down, then that's a good indication of how healthy you are.
Mm-hmm.
So an abnormal cycle is a sign that you could develop endometriosis. Heavy periods, also abnormal menstrual cycles, mm-hmm, is a very good sign. Matter of fact, if you have heavy periods, probably you have endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what they do is that's one of the major reasons that they give birth control pills for that type of situation. Higher body fat percentage. Also, if,
mm-hmm,
you can, especially for younger gals, if they can keep it more in a line of athletic level, mm-hmm, for their fat percentage, the greater the health they have, the less likely they are to have endometriosis, the greater fertility, all those types of things. So again, sports, activity, mm-hmm, regular exercise plays a major factor. If you have autoimmune diseases, the immune system plays a very big role.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so that can also play a very, you know, if you have any type of a thyroid condition, Hashimoto's, or Graves' disease, Addison's disease, fibromyalgia, all of those increase your chances of having endometriosis too.
Interesting. So what problems are caused by endometriosis?
Well, the biggest one is pain. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be absolutely debilitating. It could be mild discomfort all the way to excruciating pain.
Now, is that just during your cycle, or can that be?
It could be all the time, or it could be at certain points of your cycle. It depends on where the endometriosis has landed, and even the area of the abdomen could be at different points.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be it's a variable type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not really clear. But if you have abdominal pelvic pain,
mm-hmm,
then you probably have a 75% chance of probably having endometriosis.
Mm.
So if you have abdominal pain, especially if it's associated with certain times of the month, then you probably have endometriosis.
And we're talking about the pelvic pain.
Lower,
deeper.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then also infertility.
Mm-hmm.
That is a major problem, mm-hmm, with endometriosis. 50% of all women who have infertility issues is due to endometriosis.
You said 50%?
50% of all infertility is due to endometriosis.
Interesting. So how is it diagnosed?
It's a difficult diagnosis to make. Mm-hmm. The only sure way to do the diagnosis is exploratory surgery.
Right.
But one of the problems with exploratory surgery that they found is it spreads the endometriosis.
Mm, when you open up.
When you open up and move things around, then there seems to be a worsening of the symptoms. The surgery can be temporarily effective, but long-term, usually not. Usually it grows back and actually comes back worse than it was before. So it's not a very good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some imaging on that. It can give you some ideas, but it's not for sure at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a pelvic exam, basically feeling for adhesions and different types of you can actually feel that in the pelvis.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, how effective are treatments for endometriosis right now?
The Endometriosis Society basically says we have really not effective for treatment, mm-hmm, medically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do surgery, birth control pills. There's some other hormones that can be given. There's immune therapy, but none of them have really have really satisfactory results.
So why does the birth control pills work?
The birth control pills stop the menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. So if you stop the menstrual cycle, you stop the endometrial material from being formed.
But then it affects infertility.
Well, one of the things is birth control pills does, the longer you are on birth control pills, the less likely you are to get pregnant.
And I guess I should say that when you're on birth control, it's preventing pregnancy.
It's preventing pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But long-term use of birth control pills can also lead to infertility problems.
So you're saying right now, 50% of infertility is caused by endometriosis. And right now there's not effective treatment.
Correct. Medically.
Medically.
And I would clarify that as a disease care method.
Right, and we're going to be talking about
getting into the structure, function. Answers mm-hmm. that really can.
So there are answers.
There are answers. Yeah. Okay. It's always nice to know for the women who are suffering out there and listening to this, not to be discouraged.
Right.
That we are going to be talking about some of the answers that can be done and more effective treatments.
Okay. And when we come back, let's talk more about the heartbreak of endometriosis.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What is ECP therapy?
ECP stands for external counterpulsation therapy. And just to put it into a nutshell, ECP is an aerobic exercise machine. Now you sit there and say, well, why do you need an aerobic mm-hmm. exercise machine? It is the number one treatment for cardiovascular disease. If you look at the research and want to find out, well, how do I fix my cardiovascular disease, you know, whatever it might be, always within the scientific literature, aerobic exercise is one of the most proven, most effective means of reversing cardiovascular disease. So, but the problem is I have people who I sit there and I look at them and I say, well, you know, what do I do about this problem that I have, Doc? And I said, well, go out and run 5 miles, you know, every day. And of course, they all laugh because you know, it took every effort that they had from going to the waiting room into the exam room,
right?
And they're out of breath. So that didn't work. So what was actually done was develop a machine that actually simulates the effects on the body of aerobic exercise, and that's where ECP comes in. And what occurs with ECP is that there's actually a second heart kind of put into the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the outside, but as the heart goes into relaxation, that's when it actually gets its blood. So what we do is we actually have blood pressure cuffs around the legs. It presses on the legs, and we get a huge amount of blood that goes back up to the heart. And the heart is very regenerative, and you get about 10 times as much oxygen with this particular type of treatment than what you normally would. And you get a regeneration of the heart. You also get a cleaning out of the arteries. And you actually get a huge amount of changes in the whole physiology of the body. So all the benefits of aerobic exercise are actually found in ECP, which are absolutely the number one way that you can be able to reverse cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and many other problems.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Oh, oh, I feel good today.
Yes, I do. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice. the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, today we're talking about the heartbreak of endometriosis. And very interesting, you know, Dr. Prather, the endometriosis is a lining in the uterus.
Endometrial material, right.
Material, where the egg lands.
Yep.
So when it leaves the uterus and ends up in the abdominal wall or pelvic area. So one question when we went to break, I was asking you, how does it do that? How does it leave the uterus?
Sure. There are three different openings for the uterus up through the fallopian tubes where the eggs will... where it catches the eggs and drops them down into the uterus. Mm-hmm. So the endometrial material goes up through the fallopian tubes and out into the abdominal cavities. So two openings on that. Then it also can go down through the cervix and then into the vagina and cause material to accumulate there, scar tissue. And sometimes they have to do surgery to open up the vagina because of scar tissue that occurs.
Wow.
So very devastating on how that goes. But another interesting thing is the endometrial material, even outside into the abdomen, follows the same cycle as the endometrial material inside the uterus.
Okay.
So when you start your period, there's also a dissolving of the endometrial material in the pelvis, too. But it doesn't have any place to go out. So you have the accumulation of blood and material in the abdomen, which causes a toxic situation, and can the body will attack that and try to dissolve it, which can cause a whole abdominal inflammatory condition.
Which causes the pain.
Which is usually caused with the, yes, it can be one of the causes of the pain. And as you get the scar tissue, then it can cause adhesions. Women have had a blockage of their bowels because of it, where the bowels have been tied up and constricted, and you have to have emergency surgery. Sometimes the whole uterus and ovaries can be pulled over to one side or completely strangled off and die because it strangles off the blood supply. So, you know, it can be a dangerous situation.
So how many women have endometriosis?
They estimate that about 10% of all women who are in that age category have endometriosis, is what the figures are.
When but you say it age is growing. Category, you mean?
The women who are, obviously, if you aren't going through your menstrual cycle, either post or prior, then, you know, you don't have endometriosis. So it's the women during that time, which is about between 50 and 60 million American women, so about 5 to 6 million women have endometriosis right now.
Interesting. Did you do any comparisons to other countries? Or
You know, that's one of the things is that in more primitive societies, that's not found.
It's not found.
No. So it's more of a disease of civilization. So the more civilized we are, you know, what we would consider more Western culture, then endometriosis is found. If you go to other societies, endometriosis is unknown.
To be interesting, that you're talking about the chemicals.
The chemicals plays a very
foods and interesting
exercise.
What role does endometriosis play in infertility?
It can cause several different reasons why the infertility occurs. One, there is just physically, oftentimes the egg can't get into the fallopian tube because you have the endometrial material blocking. So that's one of the issues that can occur. Also, there can be a change in the fallopian tubes, so it can't catch the egg, is another thing that occurs. Also, if there's just from the inflammatory process, one of the things that if you reduce the inflammation in women who can't get pregnant, then all of a sudden pregnancy can occur. High inflammatory process, a weakened immune system or hyperactive immune system will cause infertility. So just even if it's not physically blocking it, just the inflammatory process, the body will oftentimes just skip pregnancy. You know. So it plays a physical direct and then also a chemical component along those lines to prevent pregnancy.
Well, what role does it play in pelvic pain?
Well, interestingly enough, it has been known to come down and wrap around nerves.
Oh, wow.
So, and then the body can think that it's part of the system and grow nerve cells into the endometrial material that's mm-hmm. in the pelvis. So right there you can get some really, really sharp and excruciating pain cycles along those lines. Then also it can kick off pain just from the inflammation. The inflammatory process is like like if you have a open tooth and you put some citric acid on it, mm-hmm. It really, really hurts. So it can be the same thing along those lines with the inflammation. Inflammation on a nerve causes pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be another process that's besides just the physical, but it can also be chemical too.
Can you have it and not have pelvic pain?
That is one of the interesting things that they've discovered. There are women who have never had any pelvic pain, and then they were trying to figure out why they couldn't get pregnant and found out that they had endometriosis. So it doesn't always cause pain, but there are usually some signs. If you are abnormal on your menstrual cycle, that's also a good indication that you probably have endometriosis.
Mm, okay. So what causes endometriosis?
The things that can kick off the endometriosis is you're looking at hormone imbalance is probably one of the biggest things. So I don't think that there's anyone who has endometriosis that their hormones don't need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and hormonal balance is a very common type of thing, but if you get a certain type of a shift that goes along with that, then it creates endometriosis. So, first off, you have the hormonal aspect of it. Also, if you have a weakened immune system, you can be off on your hormones that creates the endometriosis. But then if you have a very active and healthy immune system, it will go in and clear up the endometrial material that goes outside of the abdomen.
Interesting.
Called macrophages. And there's mm-hmm. a whole system that the body has of cleaning up those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're off on your hormones, but you have a good immune system, you usually don't develop endometriosis. Also, a higher inflammatory rate also creates the endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chemical toxicity. Most times that we find that there is a chemical toxicity, there can be also a mineral toxicity. High copper
mm-hmm.
Kicks off endometriosis.
Interesting. Yeah.
So there are certain types of things that are very well known to be involved with that. So even certain types of vitamin and mineral deficiencies can kick off endometriosis. So mm-hmm. it's a combination of things. Then when you get the perfect storm, then you develop the endometriosis.
Mm. So do you treat endometriosis at your office?
Well,
I knew I would have a hard time with that word.
It is not the easiest word to say. I've been saying it for quite a few years, so it makes, kind of rolls off of my tongue a little bit easier.
Uh-huh.
But yes, we do not treat the endometriosis directly.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we treat the body and get it normalized. That's the whole structure function philosophy, is if you can get the body into balance, then the body basically takes care of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So when a doctor is talking about treating endometriosis, he's talking about surgery, drugs, hormones, things that you would directly attack the body with.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we find out how the body is out of balance with its hormones, and then we help the body to get the hormonal balanced on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very good at that. We also decrease the inflammatory process. We get the nutrition balanced out, the minerals balanced out. We get the immune system up to par. And those types of things really makes a long-lasting type of a change. So we can't say that we treat endometriosis. What we do is we treat people who, women who have endometriosis. Mm.
Can you diagnose it, or is that something their OBGYN?
I usually let the OBGYN, but I have suspicion that they have endometriosis from the accumulation of all the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty obvious oftentimes, and most of the time women come in and say they have endometriosis, and then we treat that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where women don't say they have or don't know that they have endometriosis, but it's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
From their symptoms and the other things that we see that they probably do.
So diagnostically, what do you do?
Diagnostically, we do very, very thorough blood tests.
Mm-hmm.
We are more dependent upon lab tests than even the disease care through structure function. Because we have to know how things are out of bounds. So we're going to be very thorough with blood work on the hormones. Mm-hmm. To find out.
I just went through that, and it was very thorough.
We know exactly what's going on with the hormones at that point. Of course, we recheck them as we work with that and make sure that gets into balance. And people feel amazing when that changes.
Yeah, you can feel, they feel awful when they're
You can up. Feel awful when your hormones are off.
Yes.
we check on that. We check on the immune system. See how the immune system is working on the blood test. We make sure the liver and kidneys are working. We also do hair analysis, very important to know what the tissues are. We also do blood work for vitamin deficiency, fatty acid deficiency. We can also can play a very big role. We also do probably the most important thing is a GI stool kit, because the inflammation in the bowels, I would say, is the number one issue with endometriosis and where you can make the biggest change. So if you can get the bowels normalized, which are oftentimes off, you can do dramatic things with endometriosis.
Interesting. When we come back, more on the services you provide that help endometriosis.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I don't understand nutrition. I heard a nutritionist on the radio saying something like, you should eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. But I think I wrote it down wrong. Because I eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a hippopotamus, dinner like an 800-pound gorilla, and a midnight snack like a 25-ton humpback whale. So when I was jotting it, I inverted something.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightlossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking today about the heartbreak of endometriosis. And Dr. Prather, you treat endometriosis at the Prather Practice, or, you know, trying to balance through trying to balance hormones, build immune system.
Sure. What we do is we balance out the body. The whole aspect of treating endometriosis isn't really what we do. What we do is we treat the patient with endometriosis. And it is a distinction that we try to emphasize, because having the patient really understand that is an important aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So as they come in, what we're looking for is, what is the imbalances that are created? How can we get those balances fixed so that we're fixing the problem, mm-hmm. not just treating the symptoms? Most of the treatments are disease-based, are treating the symptoms of, you know, the pain,
mm-hmm.
Those types of things, or they're trying to eliminate the endometriosis through surgery. And if you don't get to the root of the problem, then the endometriosis, no matter what you do, will come back.
So you can restore it or heal it?
Right. There's several factors that go into making endometriosis. There's a compromised immune system. There is chemical toxicity. There is hormonal imbalance. All those different types of things that you put together is what creates the endometriosis. And as you can get those down, we have some amazing results. I think of one patient who came in to me for acupuncture. And we did the acupuncture on her, and all of a sudden she came in and says, "I'm pregnant."
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is, she had gone through IVF treatment
three times.
Had given up on it, and they had said the cause of that was endometriosis, that she couldn't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we did the acupuncture, and what that changed was the inflammatory process. So oftentimes you can get just one aspect of the endometriosis under control,
mm-hmm.
and then you can get some dramatic changes that take place. So she was really thrilled about that.
Well, that was my next question. You know, how can acupuncture help with this?
And one thing that is very well proven with acupuncture, and why we do that, the main reason we do acupuncture is for the inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
We get very, very excellent results on that. And so acupuncture has anything that's inflammatory-based as a problem, the acupuncture can help with. So that's a very excellent type of treatment. And for endometriosis, acupuncture has been shown to be one of the very best treatments, mm-hmm. for endometriosis to reduce the inflammation. And that really makes a big difference. And the very nice thing about that is, I had seen her 3 years afterwards, and she still didn't have any of the symptoms of the endometriosis.
Wow.
And she had actually gotten pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of turned it on, and she was wondering how to turn it off at that point. But that's one of the reasons the acupuncture has such excellent results with infertility.
Mm-hmm.
Because 50% of the women, the reason that they have infertility is because of the endometriosis. And if you change the inflammatory process, then that stops a lot of the effects of the endometriosis. So that's why acupuncture is recommended for every woman with infertility.
Right. I know we get some referrals in.
Sure.
From fertility doctors that use the acupuncture along with that.
Right. Acupuncture has the highest rated success of any one treatment for infertility.
Wow. So a lot of it can be this, especially if someone has endometriosis.
Especially with endometriosis.
Okay. Well, what effect does chiropractic care have on it?
I have had women who came in for chiropractic care hadn't mentioned the endometriosis or the symptoms that went along with that. And through the chiropractic care, it was completely gone.
Mm.
One of the things regular chiropractic care can help is with the menstrual cycle. It does have an effect with the nervous system, and the nervous system controls so many different types of aspects.
Mm.
There was a balancing on that, and most of the signs of the endometriosis went away with many of our chiropractic patients. So chiropractic is another excellent type of thing to look for. What's nice about the acupuncture and the chiropractic care is, there aren't any side effects. In other words, it's not a risk.
Right.
You know, like so many of the different other types of treatments, you know, choosing surgery first is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Going into some of the other treatments, even the hormonal treatments, has more long-lasting type of effects. Trying the easy, safe methods are always the best way. Mm-hmm. So for endometriosis, acupuncture is highly recommended. Chiropractic has also been proven to help with a lot of the symptoms and the changes on endometriosis. So that would be another thing that I would highly recommend that people consider.
Now, what about hormone balance? You talked a little bit about that. Can that help reverse endometriosis?
Very, very definitely. The hormone balance, we do a lot of hormone testing, so we find out more thoroughly, really, than almost anybody else that I know of. And it's easy to do, you know, just some simple blood tests, and you can find out what the hormone balance is on someone. And it's rare to find someone who has completely balanced hormones. But there is a hormone in, there is a balance on the hormones that usually produces endometriosis. Mm. So when we see that on the blood test, then we have an idea that that's probably a major cause along those lines. Usually in that type of instance, the progesterone is low, the estrogen is very high. That type of a balance is usually what creates the endometriosis along with some of the other hormones. So it's easy to see, and as we can bring that back into balance. Now, there's a lot of different ways to do that. Most of the time, when you're talking about a disease care, it's more like hitting a gnat with an atomic bomb. The hormones that they use are very powerful, very strong. Those are necessary on some people, but it's really only about 2% of the population.
Now, you're talking about what replacement. They call okay.
Yeah.
Hormone
replacement therapy.
And some people think those are natural, and they're not.
They're not natural. It overrides the body. It can be good in certain instances, but there are natural ways to herbs, organs, therapy, vitamins, all those types of things really can bring those back into a very natural type of balance.
Well, we're working on mine because I just got blood work going through the change and got my hormones checked, and you have me on a hormone homeopathic injectable. And within 1 to 2 days, I've been feeling so much better.
Certainly. And, you know, when we had checked you before, it's just something recently that happened to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's a combination of stress, going through menopause, all happening at the same time. You were wondering what had happened to you.
Right,
and what's going
I'm
on.
Not used to not
You're
feeling
not
good.
Used to feeling good. And so we did the blood test, and it was very obvious why you didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all your blood work is absolutely wonderful, so you have a good solid base. But definitely your estrogen and progesterone had disappeared.
Depleted. Where'd they go?
So we're going to be rechecking on the blood test in about 4 weeks and make sure that's starting to get back up to where it should be.
Yeah, and I've just been on the supplements and the homeopathic injectables for 2 days.
Right.
And feeling so much better.
And we get that on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's nice about this is it's not something that overrides the body. It's something that the body
works
takes.
With the body.
Yeah, the body takes it and then starts to produce the hormones naturally. So that eventually you are producing the hormones on your own. Whereas with the pharmaceutical grade hormones, it doesn't stimulate your own body's production.
And has there been some connection with some of these hormone replacements in breast cancer?
Yes, that is one of the big risks. Matter of fact, they were doing clinical studies on hormone replacement therapy, and they discontinued those because they said that the risk of cancer was so great that they were seeing that it was unethical to continue the studies. The increase of the chances of cancer by taking those was 6 times greater than the average person, which was unacceptable to continue those types of experiments on people.
Yeah, and it's just interesting because, you know, people will say, I'm taking hormones and, you know, it's natural. And do you get that?
Oh, we do.
I hear that from women.
Yeah. And hormone replacement therapy is not natural.
And that is not something.
Again, I want to reiterate, there are times that it needs to be done.
Right.
But it has to be done very carefully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what role does mineral balance play in endometriosis?
One of the interesting things is high copper is a imbalance that can really cause endometriosis. So checking on that, high copper, low zinc. And as we can, I've had some very excellent results by detoxing the copper out of the system. We have some herbals that are very good along those lines, homeopathics with some other minerals that are known to detox that. We can do that very very easily and safely, and we get some immediate results. People's moods, women's moods, become much, much better once you start to decrease the copper.
Yeah. The mommy happy, nobody's happy.
Right.
That's and definitely, true in our house.
Definitely mama is unhappy when the copper's high.
Uh-huh.
So if we can get that down, people see some immediate difference in emotional and being irritated.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about acupuncture, chiropractic care, balancing hormones, balancing minerals, real important. And let's talk about the immune system. What role and how do you treat that?
Immune system is very, very important along those lines. Almost everyone who has endometriosis has a weakened immune system. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, that's one of the signs that occur. So if you have an autoimmune disease, the chances of you having endometriosis are much higher. Again, some of those things are thyroid problems are one of the most common. Hashimoto's, Graves' disease. If those two are going on, then your chances of having endometriosis are much higher. Addison's, any type of a autoimmune, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, certainly increases your chances along those lines. So getting those checked, making sure that that's going on, and we can do autoimmune tests. We have a pattern on that and find out if that is occurring, and then if we can get that fixed, the endometriosis goes away. Mm-hmm. And what's also nice is most of the time the autoimmune disease goes away. Fibromyalgia is a very big one.
Wow.
You know, if you're talking about women with fibromyalgia, almost all of them also have endometriosis.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. When we come back, let's talk more about the heartbreak of endometriosis.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Dr. Prather, how common is infertility?
The official numbers are about 10% of the population has been diagnosed with infertility problems.
That be women.
Actually, it's about 50-50.
Oh,
when you're talking about infertility issues, it's not just a woman's problem, but it's also a man's problem, too.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, it is actually a growing problem. It's getting worse.
What role does structure function care play in treating infertility?
Most people think about the medical intervention, IVF treatments, but really, as you're looking at, the first step should be just trying to get healthy. You know, approaching this from a standpoint of things aren't working right, what's not working right, and then getting it functioning properly. The healthier you are, the more likely you are to get pregnant. That's just the way it works.
Is the Prather practice successful in treating infertility?
Yes, and one of the things is we have quite a few couples who come in for infertility problems, and we have an extremely high success rate. As we look at the percentage of who I kind of consider was our infertility patients. Most of them that we kind of consider had already been through medical intervention trying to get pregnant. We were unsuccessful. And we have about between an 80 and 90% success rate, even with those men and women.
That have already been through the medical.
That have already tried the medical and was unsuccessful.
Interesting.
It's amazing, again, if you get the body healthy, how successful that is.
And the medical intervention is so costly.
Yes, it's extremely costly, but if you've been through it, oftentimes we need to really repair a lot of damage. Because it's really, really hard on the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a pleasant experience at all. Very emotional, very expensive, and really, really just wears out. And there's been quite a few women who, I don't even care about getting pregnant right now. I just want to, you know, my hormones are all a mess. You know, I've lost weight. There's all sorts of different things that are going on. When we do their blood work, you know, there's kidney damage, liver damage, you know, that has actually occurred through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get them healthy, and as we're getting them healthy, all of a sudden they get pregnant too. So it's a very rewarding type of thing.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that freedom, yeah.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about the heartbreak of endometriosis. And Dr. Prather, we talked about, you know, the people can know if they have endometriosis, they'll have the pelvic pain, right? Usually increase blood flow during their menstruation.
And abnormal menstrual periods, too.
Mm-hmm,
always
abnormal.
Occurs on that.
Yeah. A lot of times it's diagnosed through their OBGYN appointments.
Yes.
So how do you know once you treat it, you know, the results you've gotten, that you have reversed? I guess, is that the word, reversed endometriosis?
That's a good term. And when you're talking about endometriosis, you're talking about different levels. You know, it's not uncommon to have a little bit, you know, but basically when endometriosis becomes a problem is where it starts to cause issues. That's when it's really diagnosed. So we don't really worry about it unless it's becoming a problem. So we see an improvement in symptoms. First off, of course, we see the lab tests balance out. That's a sign that that will occur. But then the pelvic pain disappears. The menstrual cycle becomes regular. The function, because it can affect digestive system, any type of complications that start to, you know, that were there, disappears, so people start feeling good. But oftentimes we get a confirmation from that from the OBGYN too. So we want to work with the OBGYN to have the diagnostics done, you know, before, afterwards. And we get a tremendous number of confirmations that they felt that, you know, I've had them even call me and say, you know, what a wonderful job we had done on that patient. So that's something that, you know, we don't operate in a vacuum. You know, we try to work with the other doctors. And the main thing that we're trying to do with structure function is to get it integrated into the regular healthcare system. So we really try to keep the doctors informed, work with them, and then get the type of results together that we really need to do.
Okay, well, let's talk about detoxifying. Why is that important to this condition?
One of the things is the higher the levels of toxicity, there are very well-known chemicals that help to promote the endometriosis. So those chemicals have to be processed by the liver to be able to be pulled out of the system. But if the liver's not working well, you're not going to get the detoxification. And we can do blood tests on the liver and find out if the liver's working up to par. So that's one of the things that we measure on that and make sure that that's, that those liver changes are taking place. And then we can specifically hit some environmental toxin, homeopathics, and then herbals for detoxification and see that pulled out of the system. Not only do we see the symptoms of endometriosis go away, but a lot of other symptoms clear up too. Skin problems, because that's another major way of detoxifying, oftentimes clear up. Hair is better. You know, just the entire body is feeling better, you know, when you can get the detoxification. So looking at the ability of the body to detox is one of the most important things. Another thing that if the liver is not working up to par, the liver is the fine tuner of the hormones, which a lot of people don't know that. So if you have too many, if there's an imbalance, because there's a fine balance on the hormones, and the liver will take out hormones and destroy them and get rid of them if there's too much, and then it will, on a small scale, make hormones when it's a little deficient. So the liver's function is extremely important for balancing the system. As a matter of fact, there's a Chinese herbal formula called Dong Quai. And Dong Quai is very well known for women's hormonal problems, but it's not directed at the hormones. It is a very excellent liver detoxifier. And because it's able to detox the liver, it's able to balance out the hormones. So women get amazing results on their hormones because they're detoxifying their liver. So something that we look at and can make a big difference.
And you didn't have me on that because my liver was fine.
Your liver enzymes were 21, which is absolutely perfect. So you've got the kidneys of a 20-year-old and the liver of a 20-year-old.
Awesome. We're just working on those hormones.
And we just got to get those hormones up and, you know, you'll just be around forever.
All right. How about exercise? What role does exercise play?
Well, if you are, when you're young and you have regular exercise, one of the things that occurs is you have delayed onset of menstrual. That's one of the things that's well known. So your chances of getting endometriosis are much better, you know, much less than if you weren't exercising. So girls who have a regular exercise program really cut down on their chances of endometriosis. And if you are regular exercising, it can also have an effect on the endometriosis itself. They did studies on women with endometriosis, and especially for some reason, jumping jacks.
I've just started a program with jumping jacks.
You know, all the different exercises, all the exercises that you do help with endometriosis. So if you have a regular exercise program, I've had many women who came in who found that the exercise was a great way to get that under control. We helped them so that, you know, they didn't even have to worry about it. But exercise is fantastic, but for some reason, jumping jacks, if you have the pain of endometriosis and you start a regimen of jumping jacks, that the pain of endometriosis drops quite dramatically. So for some reason, jumping jacks have been proven to be one of the best things on that. So that's one of the things that we've recommended for the gals who've come in with endometriosis.
So you talked a little bit about this. The fat percentage is very important. And gut health. Anything you want to speak on that?
Yes. The GI test is probably the most important thing about endometriosis. If you have infections in the bowels, parasites, bacterial infections, viral infections, which we find on the GI test, then if you can get that balance, it's absolutely amazing, the changes. So one of the most important things is the gut health for endometriosis, because that's where the inflammation occurs. That's where the immune system drops. So my recommendation is the number one test is have the GI and then getting that balanced out. And it's amazing how many people, their basic health problem is coming from their gut.
Interesting. Well, we have little time here. Anything that you want to conclude with, Dr. Prather?
I encourage anyone, any woman out there, or if you have a loved one or a daughter that has endometriosis, to not only be going to their OBGYN, which they need to, but also look at the possibility of structure function care. Many of the women who come in, young gals who have been put on birth control pills to help control that, do not need that once they start our care. Mm-hmm. And so trying to find, again, trying to get the structure function care into the minds and the consciousness of people is a very important part of what we're trying to do, and that's why we're doing these shows.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always. Very informative.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.